Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, today we begin in verse 57. Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 57, this is God's word. When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father, Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, "No, he is to be called John." They said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who has that name." Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, "His name is John." Immediately, his mouth was opened and his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak, praising God. The neighbors were all filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, "What then is this child going to be?" For the Lord's hand was with him. His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. As he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the desert until he appeared publicly to Israel. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Again, everybody was shocked that this old woman who had never been able to have children was now expecting a child. And when it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Now, back then, they didn't have a lot of prenatal testing. How do you know if you're going to have a boy or a girl? How do you know if you're going to have twins? They didn't have ultrasounds. They weren't doing blood tests and all the things that we now sort of take for granted. But the parents already knew. Have you seen some of the videos of reveals where people announce what they're going to have because they found it? Okay. They had announced what they were going to have. And the reason they knew was because this was a miracle. And the angel had told them not only that they were going to have a son, but that that son had a special calling from God and that his name was to be John. Now, during the entire time of the pregnancy, and in fact, starting just before Elizabeth got pregnant, Zechariah couldn't talk. Remember, after the vision, he came out to where the people were and began trying to make signs and gestures to them to tell them that he had just encountered an angel. But he couldn't speak. And so when the baby is born, everybody's happy. They're celebrating. And it says, her neighbors and relatives heard the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. And so on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father Zechariah. They were going to name him. Do you get that? Mom wasn't going to name him that. The father wasn't going to name him that. But everybody else had an idea what this child ought to be called. Human nature has not changed. They were going to name him after his father Zechariah, but his mother spoke up and said, no, he's to be called John. They didn't say, oh, they said, well, none of your relatives are named John. Again, everybody's got an opinion. Just so that you know, I already said human nature has not changed. You will encounter this in your future if you haven't already, okay? Other people will have an opinion, and when you tell them what you're going to do, even if you got it from God, everybody's going to want to try and talk you out of it. Okay, I think you ought to do this instead. So they said, there's no one among your relatives who has that name. So not satisfied, they go to the father, Zechariah, and they made signs to his father as if, because he couldn't speak, they're treating him like he's deaf. Okay? Again, human nature on display. They made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. And he asked for a writing tablet. Why? Because obviously the sign language thing was not working. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, not we're going to name him John or I vote for John. His name is John. His name is John. Now, why would he say that? Because that's what God had spoken to him through the prophet Gabriel. Something that all parents need to know is your child doesn't belong to you. Whether or not you think the child does, our children belong to the Lord. The psalmist tells us, consider your children a gift from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. So our children come to us from God. You don't own them. You're entrusted with them. You're to be a steward of what God has entrusted to you. Please get that. You belong to God. I don't even believe in God. Okay, you're a fool. But you still belong to God. The universe is his. He is the creator of all things. He is the owner of all things. And whether or not you take him seriously, whether or not you joyfully yield your life to him, the fact of the matter is, we all belong to him. We all belong to him. So, his name is John, Zechariah said. Immediately, his mouth was opened. He had to write it down and showed it to him. And when he did that, he was acting in obedient faith. It was what he had failed to do when he first got the word from the angel. Instead of responding as Mary did to the angelic message she received, may it be unto me according to thy word, he had said, how can I be sure of this? Because, you know, the circumstances really are against it. He wasn't saying, I don't want it to happen. He was just saying, you know, I mean, An angel has come and appeared to him and is telling him what God says, and he's like, I'm not sure about that. He's repeating the same mistake of our first parents, who in the garden listened to the serpent as he said, did God really say that? Satan is still trying to get people to doubt God's word. Because he doubted, he was unable to speak. Didn't receive God's word by faith, now he can't speak his words. When he declares in writing what God had said to him, acting in obedient faith, God healed him and gave him back the power of speech.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak, praising God. Praising God. That's what should characterize our speech. That is the language of heaven. The neighbors were all filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. And everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, what then is this child going to be? For the Lord's hand was with him. What follows is a prophecy, because Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and began not just to speak and not just to praise God, but to say a message that God had given him. And the message is, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. Now, as he describes what God has done, he also talks about the role that this particular child, John the Baptist, is going to play. Look at verse 76, and you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him. Do you remember what the angel had said? It said that, verse 16 of chapter 1, many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. What is he doing now? He is prophesying in keeping with the word that God has already spoken. And, by the way, in keeping with the Old Testament prophecies that had said God would send such a one before Messiah came. You will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. The role that John the Baptist was going to play was to prepare the way for the Messiah. He's not the Messiah. If you read the Gospel of John, which is not by John the Baptist, it's by John the Beloved, but if you read that, it starts with who Jesus is. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Then it talks about there was a man sent from God whose name is John. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness to the light. He was sent in order to point people to Jesus. That was his job. He was to prepare the way. But they were anticipating someone who would come and deliver them from their enemies. And what John the Baptist was going to do to prepare the way is call them to realize that the greatest enemy they've got is the sin within them. You see, our problem in this country right now is not some political party that's demonized. It is the sin in the human heart. And the fact is, even if all your favorite dreams came true concerning who's in government and how the economy's doing and all the rest of that, unless there's wide-scale repentance, we're toast. Because if everything goes well circumstantially, you're still going to die and give an account to God. And this land that we live in, like the rest of the world, is filled with sin. And the problem isn't just out there. It's in here. We must repent. John the Baptist, if you look at his messages, was calling people to repentance and telling them, if you think you're sons of Abraham, God can raise up sons of Abraham from these stones. Don't feel impressed by your genealogy. Realize that all of us are sinners who come from a long line of sinners. Got it? The best of us deserve help. Why is that important? Well, that brings us to today's main point. Before you can receive salvation, you must know you need forgiveness. Before you can receive salvation, you must know you need forgiveness. My oldest brother just recently went to be with the Lord, and I miss him. But I've received tons of testimonials from people I know, and in some cases, people I didn't know very well, regarding how my brother impacted their life. My brother was a marvelous Bible teacher. My brother was also a world-famous cancer surgeon and a pioneer in cancer research. Brilliant guy, devoted follower of Jesus, wonderful husband and father, even a wonderful grandfather. But here's the thing. If I were to tell you, back when he was alive, if I were to tell you, hey, I think I can arrange for my brother to operate on you. How many of you in this room right now would say, oh, please, yes. No. You don't want anybody to operate on you. I just read a story recently about a doctor in Florida, I don't know where he went to medical school, but a doctor in Florida who apparently removed a man's liver because he thought it was the guy's pancreas. He didn't understand why it was so much bigger than a normal pancreas, and he didn't understand why it was on the wrong side of the body. But he went ahead and took it out anyway, and the guy died. Okay? Now, you don't want to have surgery unless you really need surgery. You don't just go in there because you're thinking, you know, I'd kind of like a tune-up. People get addicted to surgery, but it's not a good thing. Why are you belaboring this point? Because a sane person doesn't accept the cure unless they know they're sick. And we have a ton of churches that are telling people right now, you are fine the way you are. You are just beautiful. You are so, you just don't know how wonderful you are. That's your problem. You don't have a high enough opinion of yourself. Those folks don't come running to the cross. They're not crying out for mercy. Before Messiah could bring salvation to people, people had to realize that they needed the forgiveness of their sins through the mercy of God. Look at it in verses 76 and 78. You will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Because they have to earn it. No, because of the tender mercy of our God. On what basis can I be forgiven of my sins? Well, you have to do enough good things to outweigh the bad. You can't. You're saying I've done too many bad things? It's not about how many. The only way that we can be forgiven is through the mercy of God. Jesus tells a story about two guys who go up to pray at the temple. One of them says, oh God, I thank you that I am not like other men. I'm not like that man over there. I do this and I do this and I do this and I do this and I don't do this and I don't do that. Jesus said God wasn't even interested. He was praying to himself. But Jesus said, but there was another man who stayed in the back. And he was too ashamed to even look up. Instead, he just beat his chest and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, I tell you the truth, that man went home justified. Why? What had he done? He had realized he couldn't do anything. He wasn't saying, God, if you'll forgive me, I'll do this for you and I'll do this for you and I'll do... He was just saying, God, be merciful to me. Christ, have mercy. That's our plea. Before you can receive salvation, you must know that you need forgiveness. We have a culture that doesn't think it needs forgiveness. We've decided that if we want to do it, it must be okay. If that's my desire, it can't be bad. God made me this way. That's a lie. And it's not designed to make you better. It's designed to keep you in bondage to the destroyer.
Well, Pastor Wood, do you just want us to feel bad?
No, there's wonderful news. Whatever you've done, whatever you struggle with, God has sent salvation. And so if you cry out to him for mercy, you will receive mercy. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But you're not going to call on the name of the Lord to be saved if you don't think you need to be saved. Don't be afraid to cry out to him. Ask him to have mercy on you. He will. And the only way that anybody ever gets saved is when they come to the realization they can't save themselves. Our only hope is in Jesus. And that's why John the Baptist came, is to point people to him. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away sin of the world.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.